Hello there, my name is Paul Dollery and you are listening to The Football Family, a podcast that is exclusive to members of The 42. Thanks for joining us on our latest installment as we get set to reflect on an absolutely enormous win for Ireland in their bid to qualify for the 2023 World Cup. Joining me to discuss that 2-1 victory for Viropou's side in Finland is our own Emma Duffy. Emma, how's the form?
All good, dolls. Delighted after that. And yourself?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, totally in agreement with you. Also joined on this episode by our colleague at The 42, Paul Fennessy. Fenno, welcome along. How are you?
Thanks very much. I'm very well and a bit better after watching that game last night.
Emma, a point would have been a decent return from Helsinki, but Ireland came away with 3. What happens from here would obviously determine whether that result can be described as a turning point or not, but it certainly had the feel of a really important night in the development of this team.
Yeah, it was absolutely huge. And I don't think it could be understated just how massive of a result it was. It really, really sparks the World Cup dream. As you said, we needed at least a point, but to get the 3 was absolutely massive. And I really, really thought Ireland delivered. I think they'll take huge confidence and belief from the performance. There were so many good things in it, so many things to be positive about. And it just puts us in a really, really good position going forward. Even just looking at Megan Connolly's opening goal, the free kick, that really set our stall. It was a stunning strike. And I think just it summed up how much this team believes in themselves now. There's probably been that little bit of a turning point in that sense, because Katie McCabe was standing over it, Lucy Quinn was standing over it, but Megan Connolly went to put the ball in the back of the net just like she did in the 2014 under-19 Euros against Sweden. It was nearly a carbon copy of that goal. But yeah, it was fantastic. Just her second international goal too. And then obviously Denise O'Sullivan's winner. And Ireland really, really had to dig deep down the home straight. Niamh Fahey's vital interception as well. We can't forget that. But just a really, really positive performance and just a massive result and a huge 3 points on the road.
Yeah. Important to note as well that both goals were scored by Cork women, the Rebel County setting the standards as usual. Apart from that, Emma, what else stood out for you from an Irish perspective? What was the most encouraging aspect of the performance and what will be pleasing Viropou the most today, do you think?
The most surprising thing for me was that you let that Cork line go so long in the podcast without mentioning it, to be honest.
I'm maturing.
But no, there was so much to be positive about, dolls, and so many things to take encouragement from. The big thing for me was probably the bright start. Ireland really took the game to Finland and they went for it early on. They were really on the front foot with Katie McCabe, Denise O'Sullivan just at the heart of the attacks. They caused Finland serious problems and really rocked their defence. Like, they were kind of all over the place for the first 10-15 minutes. Like, you kind of forget there was a goal line clearance just before Connolly's goal off the back of a McCabe corner. So yeah, they really had them under the cosh early on, and that's something that we haven't really seen from Ireland a whole pile. They're kind of happy to sit back and suss things out, but they really went for it early on. And obviously then the usual things of work rate, the defensive effort, they were real positives, but they really looked to play football and be creative, getting into good positions and really making use of the high press that they utilised. But then another really pleasing thing for me, Giles, was they looked comfortable in the lead. They looked more commanding. They looked like they really trusted one another. And holding on to a lead is something that Ireland have struggled with a little bit in the past. You know, another team might have conceded late on, but there were no signs of that last night. Like, they really, really held firm and they did look comfortable and commanding throughout, I thought.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe a year or two ago, you wouldn't have had such confidence in Ireland holding on to that lead in the final 10 minutes. And I know it's easy to say in hindsight, but there really was a belief that they could see out that result. Actually, apparently, before the team flew back from Helsinki, while they were waiting to board the flight, Heather Payne started doing laps of the runway just for the crack. But an incredible effort from her last night. She never seems to tire at all. An unbelievable engine she has. Fenno, this was a Finland team who were undefeated in their last 10 competitive games. They qualified for the Euros as group winners ahead of Portugal. They also won home and away against the Scotland team that was at the last World Cup. But maybe this result now shows Ireland that that's the standard that they're also capable of reaching.
I think so, yeah. Like, a big thing about last night was, as well, the away win. Because if you looked at our last campaign, I think we won one game away from home, and we had the obviously the heartbreak in Ukraine, losing 1-0 and conceding the late goal against Greece. So just the mental block of getting a big away win is really significant, I think. And like for Irish teams in general, beating teams that you're not expecting to beat on the road is so rare. Like I think I saw someone referring to the 1987, the famous game for the men's team against Scotland. And that was really the catalyst for the Jack Charlton era. So you'd like to think that this could be a catalyst for something really special as well. And and I think there is genuine evidence that the team is making good progress.
Yeah. What caught your eye, Fino, when you analysed this Ireland performance?
Just the organisation of the team, really. I think it was the type of game where you wouldn't necessarily pick out one outstanding individual. Like, there are probably a couple of candidates for man of the match, but we were just so well organised, like, gave them very little space to attack. Like, I think Vera Pau said afterwards, she did admit that Finland probably played the better football, but I'd argue that Ireland played the smarter football. Like, we started really well. I think when the goal came, it was deserved. After that, we sat back and, like, we obviously didn't control the game in terms of possession, but I sort of felt we almost always were in control of the game in terms of, like, rarely looked like conceding. The one time we obviously did concede was a bit unlucky with Katie McKay being off receiving treatment, and obviously the goal came from down from Ireland's left-hand side, so it might not have happened if they'd had 11 players on the pitch. And then obviously to come back after that setback and almost immediately score down the other end, it showed a kind of a resilience and a mental strength that maybe wasn't so evident in the past, and again is another sign of real progress under Vera Pau for this team.
No, I'm delighted to say we are joined by Ireland international Áine Gorman, the most capped, most experienced Ireland player on the pitch last night in Helsinki, but not the oldest. I'm sure she'll appreciate me pointing out. Áine, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Hi, Paul. How are you? Thanks a million.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Áine. After playing two tough games in the space of 5 days against top-class international opposition, I'd imagine the body is feeling a bit stiff and sore today, but all worthwhile, no doubt, when you're able to reflect on a win like the one in Finland.
Yeah, definitely. I think all the hard work and the training and the dedication when you come away with a victory like we did last night, it kind of all makes it worthwhile. And you don't tend to feel as tired mentally or physically then either. Although it's quite hard to sleep after the game, and then it was an early flight home as well, but look, a bit of rest and recovery time now and back to club football, and then we'll get ready to go for the Slovakia and Georgia games in November.
Yeah, you were saying to me earlier, Áine, that it wasn't pretty, and Katie McCabe also described it as an ugly win. I must say it feels like you're being slightly harsh with that self-analysis. Okay, you were under pressure obviously during that last 10-15 minutes, which is bound to be the case when you're winning away from home against a side as good as Finland. On the flip side, maybe that kind of assessment, acknowledging that it wasn't perfect, shows that she still believes there's better to come from this team.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's probably in the way we won the game in the end, the last 10-15 minutes, that we were grinding out and all sticking together, being cohesive and getting the results we needed over the line. I think we, in patches, we play some good football, but I think there's definitely more to come, and I think we can have more composure at times on the ball and even grow and develop even more as a team. So, which is obviously a good sign after the back of the win last night.
Yeah, I suppose that the narrative in the build-up to the game, Áine, was that a draw would be a good result, and I still believe it would have been because Finland are a very distant side. Obviously, we know now you didn't go over there hoping to hang on for a point, which is an indication of where this team is at now. I mean, Finland, they've been doing really, really well over the last couple of years, and fair play to them for that. But when you look around that Ireland dressing room yourself and you see the quality there is, I guess there's no reason to feel like you shouldn't be able to get results against teams of that calibre.
Yeah, I think for me, since the Australia game, there's been this real belief in the team and that we can go and get results against top nations as well. And I think even that was reflective in our performance, although we were probably unlucky in the end not to come away with something against Sweden. that we have that belief and that confidence, and we're growing all the time as a team. And you look around the dressing room with the caliber of players we have as well, and the Caden McCabe, Denise O'Sullivan, even Heather Payne, who was on another level for me last night as well. So just getting the best out of these players and together as a team, and the results follow.
Yeah, and it was cap number 110 for you last night, Anya, a remarkable tally, and many, many more to come, I'm sure. You've had some good results in the past with Ireland, but where does that one rank for you personally?
Yeah, I think in the past, when you're a little bit younger, I think you probably take some results for granted and you don't really enjoy them as much. But I think at the moment in the campaign, when we're the second game in and we beat the second seed away from home, it's probably up there one of the best victories that I've been part of in a green jersey as well. But look, like I said, it's only the start. We still have a long way to go, and big games coming up next month, and one game at a time, as the cliche says.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of people would have questioned Vera's decision to play friendly matches against such strong opposition all year at a time when it seemed like the team just needed a win to boost confidence. But the performances against Finland, Sweden and Australia, as you mentioned, they'd seem to suggest that the policy has paid off. Have you felt better prepared as a result of those games? And do you think Vera has been vindicated for that?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, we started what was a friendly against Denmark, Belgium, and then the two away games against Iceland, where results didn't go our way, but we learned a lot from them games. And I think we've learned a lot from the last campaign as well. And we're able to bring that into this campaign, and it's definitely stood by us in the opening couple of games so far. So hopefully we can continue to build on that and grow as a team.
And seeing the recent performances at top international level of yourself and Savannah McCarthy especially, I think has also been a great endorsement for the Women's National League. The same can be said, I suppose, of Jamie Finn as well, because she was still a Shells player until a couple of months ago. Like, if you were to chat about what needs to improve with the league, then it would be a long conversation. But seeing players transition so well from the league to the international stage, it does show the potential that there is in the league as a platform, and that it could grow into something really promising if given the chance and the right backing.
Yeah, look, I love seeing Women's National League players getting out in the green jersey as well. And I think there's a lot of really good players in the league. And I think the players here in Ireland, obviously, we're amateur status, but we have a professional attitude. And there's a lot of hard work and dedication that goes into that to be able to perform and get to that top level as well, whether it's extra training sessions, going training with boys, individual sessions, just to prepare us to be ready to go out and play. And eventually it pays off, and it's nights like last night that all that hard work and dedication is rewarded. So hopefully you can continue to grow on that. I'd like to see the league here go semi-professional in time, and I think that's the next step that needs to be taken.
Yeah, and just very lastly, Anya, it was a perfect send-off for a woman you've known for a very, very long time, Eileen Gleeson, as she heads off to take up her new role in Glasgow. She'll be missed, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think Eileen's going to be a big loss around the squad. I think her knowledge and her experience of the game here in Ireland and her passion, like she said, she's Irish true and true. And I think Glasgow City have gained an absolute gem, and just want to wish Eileen the best of luck, and I've no doubt she'll be very successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Anya, rainy Tuesday evenings after a bank holiday weekend don't often produce much in the way of joy or excitement, but you managed to bring plenty of it to the nation last night. So congratulations to yourself and the team on a fantastic win. Thanks again for talking to us, and I'm sure we'll chat to you again soon.
Thanks, Paul. Chat soon.
Yeah, great to hear from Anya O'Gorman there, Emma. Another phenomenal shift from her in Helsinki. And she's, you know, such a reliable, versatile player. We've seen her in various different positions for Ireland over the years, and playing in more defensive roles now than what we initially became accustomed to seeing her in. She's been a great addition to the squad since she came out of international retirement last year, hasn't she?
Oh, unbelievable, Dolls. Even just her experience alone, she's a legend of Irish football, a serious servant, and I suppose last night was her 110th cap. That says it all. And she was back in her more natural position of right back. She'd been on the left against Sweden, probably a little bit trickier, more difficult at times for her. But I thought she was brilliant last night. The equaliser, Denise O'Sullivan's winner. We never equalised. She made that. Like, she won it down the right, played Heather Payne in, Heather Payne crossed it in, and Denise scored a goal she probably had no right to score. But she was really influential in the bright start that we mentioned already. I just think she's an absolute workhorse, and her work rate alone is absolutely massive. You know, it spurs everyone on around her. So fantastic to hear from Anya there, and to hear in such good spirits after the win, and I'm looking forward to what's to come.
Yeah, 110 caps, as we said, and you know, at 32 years of age, she's in such great shape. You'd back her to go on and win quite a few more from here. She doesn't look like a player who's coming towards the end of her career at all. We discussed it after the Sweden game as well, Emma, but another shot across the bow of this podcast delivered by Courtney Brosnan. Another really, really good night for her, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Delighted for Courtney. She's really come of age, I think, in this international window. She's proved a few people wrong, let's say, and she's really established herself as Ireland's first choice keeper. I think the big thing with Courtney is she's looked much more confident and assured. Like, even down the home straight last night when there were a few shaky moments, you'd trust her with your life. There was that one moment when Niamh Fahey did have to cleared off the line, Brosnan left the goal kind of unguarded, but that was probably the one blot on her copybook from the whole window. So yeah, two really big performances, some top drawer saves, and then obviously the confidence. She just has come on in leaps and bounds, and I really think she's made exponential improvements over the last few weeks.
Yeah. We spoke a lot on last week's episodes, Fenno, about Katie McCabe, and rightly so, because she's in the form of her life. One player whose contribution probably doesn't get highlighted quite as much by comparison is Denise O'Sullivan. I can't remember the last time she delivered anything less than an 8 out of 10 performance for Ireland. And she showed last night why there was so much concern about her picking up that injury against Sweden. Her presence is absolutely essential to this Ireland team, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd agree. And like, I think along with Katie, she probably is the one world-class player we have. Just an absolute workhorse. I think it was Karen Duggan who summed up nicely afterwards, who talked about her GPS probably being smoke, and she just didn't leave anything out there. So an absolutely key player, and still only 27, I think, so she's got so much more to give, and is going to be a key player for years to come. And what was also interesting as well, I thought, was she was moved out into the left hand side towards the end in the final 15 minutes when Rhianna Jarrett came on and did a great job there. Like, I think Vera Pau wanted two sort of more sitting players in the center, but I think in general that midfield is looking really, really kind of compact, and they all complement each other really nicely at the moment.
Sure, yeah. And Fenny, we spoke earlier about what was good about the Ireland performance in Helsinki. Based on last night, what areas will Vera Pau need to look at improving, do you think?
It's hard to single one area as a particular weakness. I guess just general things, like we could be better in possession. Like, I think we only had 31% possession last night. They probably were technically better than us. So yeah, that is one area we probably could work on. We can be, like, there have been games where we've lacked a bit of goal threat. Last night we were quite clinical. But in general, I think that's something we can work on. Like, I don't know if there's anyone in that team that you could say is a real natural goal scorer. Like, Heather Payne was absolutely brilliant last night, but and she's only got, I think, one goal for Ireland. Now, she has been playing on the wing a lot, so it's probably a bit harsh to criticise her. But I think if we want to be a really top team and go to the very next level, finding someone who can get us goals regularly would probably be very beneficial.
Sure, yeah. Before we finish up, Emma, the win in Finland was obviously a really big step in the right direction, but that progress will be undone if it's not followed up by 6 points next month in Tala against Slovakia and Georgia. Ireland have given themselves a great chance, but they have to build on this now, don't they?
Yeah, that's the key thing, Dolls. That's what's so, so important now. we've made a solid start. We really, really, really need to build on it. And look, Ireland are in a great position in the race for second place, but there is a long way to go. And getting maximum points next month in that doubleheader, that home doubleheader against the seeds lower than us, is absolutely crucial. I suppose now delivering against lesser sides or lower ranked sides is the big challenge. Like, we've proven over the last while that they can do it against the bigger teams, and that's probably a big thing in Irish football as well. When the pressure isn't exactly on as much, they probably come to the fore a little bit more, but the pressure is certainly going to be on next month. They need to deliver against these two teams, and they need to get maximum points and build on this.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. Really looking forward to those games already. Slovakia on November 25th, followed 5 days later by Georgia, both, as I said, in Tallaght Stadium. And I'm sure there'll be a big rush on tickets as soon as the FAI put them on sale. Anyway, that's all for this episode of The Football Family. Emma, Fenno, thanks for your contributions. And thanks, as always, to you, our members, for supporting The 42. We'll chat to you again soon.